bulletin, you probably read the sermon title that I have offered this morning, and I want to share with you the context for where that comes from. That idea of the bliss of growth, the glory of action, and the spirit of beauty. This comes from a section of Helen's 1927 book, My Religion, which, how many of you have read that book? Anybody? Oh, good. This is a book about her Swedenborgian faith, which she adopted when she was 16 years old, and that she would remain faithful to until the day of her death. There was actually a Bible and a copy of True Christian Religion at her bedside when she died. So this is the quote that that passage comes from. Helen writes, "In giving me the golden key to the hidden treasures of the Bible, Swedenborg's books have lifted my wistful longing for a fuller sense life unto a vivid consciousness of the complete being within me. Each day comes to me with both hands full of possibilities, and in its brief course, all the verities and realities of my existence, the bliss of growth, the glory of action, the spirit of beauty." I wonder if any of you here today might say the same thing about what Swedenborg's writings have meant to you, or what this church has given you. I want to share with you the moment when I truly and fully embraced the teachings of Swedenborg, and when those teachings led in me to a palpable shift in my experience of myself and the world around me. I'm not Helen Keller, but that conversion was important to the journey of my life. Some of you perhaps have been to Urbana University in Ohio, and that's where it took place. I was walking down College Way on my way back to campus. I had been taking a correspondence course with the Swedenborgian School of Religion, that was named at the time, and while intellectually I had begun to accept what I was learning, in that moment, that moment that I'm sharing with you now, the learning I had received was no longer intellectual. I can remember exactly the way the trees looked along the sidewalk, the color of the sky. And I remember the felt experience of knowing that behind and within all that I was seeing around me was God. That within me, that within all the bumbling experiences of my 20-year-old self, there was God. And more specifically, God's providence, bringing about growth, bringing about an inspiring action, and eliciting beauty. Now, another 20 or so years later, today, I can still remember the joy of that moment. And that joyful moment has been followed by many other moments of awakening again to the flow of things, to the deep presence of the moment that is far beyond the literal description of it. I wonder if any of you can feel that joy in this moment. This, to me, is the heart of Swedenborg's great gift to the world. The enlivening of our everyday experiences, the deepening of the mysteries of the scriptures, and the encouragement to trust in the moment as a new opportunity for growth, a new moment for blessing, for change, and for love. Now, as I was walking along that sidewalk towards Urbana University, I was not struggling with a physical impairment, as Helen did with darkness, the darkness and isolation of being deaf and blind, but I was emotionally and psychically wrought, as I'd say most of humanity is from time to time, and especially in our 20s. The illusion I was caught in was the illusion of control, the illusion of worthiness and success resting on my shoulders, the illusion that with one small misstep I could careen off course and somehow miss my life. When the teachings of Swedenborg that I was learning in that moment of walking down College Way, the trees and the sky coalesced, that illusion cracked open and showed itself for what it was. And in that moment, I was free. In that moment, I saw the truth. And like Helen, all I saw was possibilities. Both hands full of possibilities. The bliss of growth, the glory of action, the spirit of beauty. The two scripture readings that I chose this morning, I chose because of their depiction of growth, of action, and of beauty. First, we heard about Jacob. I have always identified with Jacob, wrestling with the angel through the night. Helen uses the image of Jacob in an essay that she wrote later in life on the art of achievement, where she likens Jacob's experience with the angel through the night as the wrestling that is necessary for all works of great achievement and genius that might be brought into the world. That God is present in all things, that beauty and possibility exist everywhere, that deep meaning resides in the smallest moments, does not mean that we don't wrestle. It does not mean that life is in any way smooth or always heavenly. This, for me, is the mastery of Swedenborg's unveiling of the workings of the universe and the workings of God. That the equilibrium that exists between heaven and hell is the perfect training ground for the soul. Our faith acknowledges the dark, the traps that we will inevitably fall into, the battles that we will fight because of the first instinct of selfishness that if we do not overcome, will lead to all manner of evil. Helen knew the darkness. The 5 years or so years that ensued between losing her sight and hearing at 1.5 years and the arrival of her teacher, Annie Sullivan, were dark, isolated years. Years of grasping for connection, of growing in wisdom and knowledge without the ability to express her experiences to anyone. I can only imagine the frustration she must have felt. As I shared with the children this morning, my two sons become frustrated all the time when they can't express their thoughts. And they are learning so quickly. They're finding such delight in sharing their accomplishments. They are continually asking questions, things Helen during this time was completely unable to do. Until that moment, when Helen was given to know the joy and rapture of finally being able to communicate. When Helen was 68, during one of her global tours to advocate for the needs of the blind, she recounts the moment of acquiring language when she was a child. Quote, "Once I dwelt in a region of shadows and fears. No one, not even my mother, could communicate with me, and I could not express myself. A double darkness lay upon the face of all things. Then a word dropped into my hand from the fingers of my teacher. A ray of light from her soul set me free, and I found myself. I found my fellow men and God." End quote. I am convinced that the awesomeness of this transformation, the magnitude of pent-up observations and questions that were suddenly able to be unleashed when Annie Sullivan at last gave Helen the tools to communicate, would give Helen an appreciation of the bliss of growth, the glory of action, the spirit of beauty, far beyond what those of us whose development follows a more methodical and gradual course realize. Not only that, but this experience would give Helen a deeper understanding of the ways in which we are bound to one another, the ways in which we each have the ability and the responsibility to reach out to one another, to reach in and bring each other out of the darkness. Once Helen experienced the blessing of Annie Sullivan, she could never again retreat into an isolated life for her own pleasure and comfort. The rest of her life would be committed to the work of benefiting others. If she could do what Annie did for her, for someone else, then she must do it. What else was there to do? The entire purpose of this life, being on this planet, is to live for others, to grow, to act, and to observe and increase the beauty of this world in every way given to each of us to do so. The gospel reading that we heard today from Mark, I included because Helen actually reported that this was her favorite passage in Scripture. Not the entirety, but just Mark 4:28. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. The person who recounts this was kind of awed that this would be her favorite scripture, that she didn't share some maxim of how to behave, but instead a description of natural phenomenon. But in this short description of natural fact, you could say it contains everything. The truth that I awakened to at Urbana University, and the truth that shaped Helen's life. All by itself, the soil produces grain. God's providence is at work all by itself, creating this beautiful world full of possibilities and creating us, creating each new moment and providing all that we need to thrive, to grow, to produce grain that will nourish us and nourish others. First, the stalk. We all begin somewhere. We are all planted in the circumstances of our birth, the circumstances of our bodies, the circumstances of our strengths and weaknesses. Then the head. And to move beyond the starting place will require a reaching out, a growing upwards and most likely painful cracking open of the kernel of where we begin. Of our selfishness, of our fears. It will require a facing of ourselves and the world as it is to discover what kernel is needed and what kernel we have to bring. And then the full kernel in the head. Shall we submit fully to this process? Shall we let go at each stage? Shall we allow ourselves to be transformed? Then we will plant the seed, the kernel of possibility for a new generation. Then we will complete our training for heaven. And in doing so, we will cultivate a bit more heaven here on earth. This is Helen's legacy. May it also be ours. Amen.